Right, you can take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 5, the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy. And that's where the message will be tonight, and then I have something I want to challenge your heart. But before I do, I want to give you a question. I'll ask you a question. What do you know about the Sabbath day? What's your position on the Sabbath day? Just think about that for a little bit, okay? What's your position on the Sabbath? You're eager, amen. Eager. What's your position on the Sabbath day? Just think about that. I'll give you a chance to mull that over in your mind a little bit. We're going to talk about the Sabbath day, all right? God laid a verse of Scripture on my heart. And, you just keep thinking about the Sabbath day. I'm just talking out loud. All right, you have your Bibles open to Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Hold your place there. We'll come back there. God's laid something on my heart that I'd like to challenge you with. Okay, I want to ask you to do something with me. And if you accept the challenge, great. If you don't, well, you know, it's no pressure. I just want you to do it if God speaks to your heart about accepting the challenge. We need to pray. We really need to pray. And I just wonder how many would be willing to commit to pray an hour a day. I thought about this scripture when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying and you know the circumstance there, and he had asked the disciples to pray, to watch and pray, and of course they fell asleep. And I do that when I'm praying sometimes. You ever fall asleep when you're praying? Yeah, it's a terrible feeling. It really is. So I have no negative word to bring you on the disciples who fell asleep praying. But I will tell you this. Jesus made this statement. He said unto Peter, he cometh unto the disciples, and this is in Matthew 26 and verse number 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, I'm not supposing that God expects me to pray an hour a day, and I'm not even going to read that in there. But I do think it would be good if we prayed an hour a day. Now you say, well, I can't pray an hour a day. I don't mean it one sitting. Okay, now if you pray an hour a day at one sitting, God bless you, you know, and some do. I guess it depends on how heavy our hearts are, you know. But I'd like for you to commit in your heart. I pray an hour a day. If you really think that we need to pray, I don't think that's asking too much. An hour a day. I mean, think about all the things that we do that we invest in more than an hour a day. And I'm not going to begin to name them because I'll leave some things out. And it's really not about that, okay? I just said that for the sake, just in the event the devil was perched on your shoulder and said, there's no way you can pray an hour a day. You're a busy person. We're all busy. Everyone's busy. We can all pray an hour a day. The question is not, can we pray an hour a day? The question is, are we willing to? Do we see the need to pray an hour a day? And perhaps you already are. And if you're praying an hour a day, well then, you know, maybe the challenge would be, well, should I increase that to whatever God lays on your heart? And so I'm just going to ask you, you know, through the month of April, let's pray an hour a day, every day. Maybe 15-minute increments four times a day, maybe 2:30, 1:45, and 1:15, 3:20s, I don't know. Whatever God lays on your heart, but I would stick to it. Commit yourself unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. If we just say, Lord, I see the need to pray, I'm going to commit, I'm going to stand with my pastor and believing that my church family, my community, my country, my government authorities, my local authorities, God, we need to pray. We need to pray. And so if that's something God would lay on your heart, then I pray that He would. And I pray you'd follow through with it. I'm not going to tell you to make it public between you and God. I'm just challenging your heart. Brethren, we need to pray. We need to pray. We all know that there's a war raging. I mean, it's serious. It's serious. I am not making light of what's going on between Russia and Ukraine and what may even be going on with our country, but I'm going to tell you, there's a greater war raging than what's going on outside of Fox News and CNN and whatever news source you want to name. There is a spiritual warfare going on. And it is not only claiming lives, it is claiming souls. And so I pray that you'd give that some thought. Perhaps God would challenge your heart. I'm going to pray by the grace of God, as God is my helper. I'm going to pray an hour a day through the month of April. End of April, you get to pray an hour a day. You may just continue to do it. You may see the need. And so that's just a thought God laid on my heart. And I asked him, would he want me to challenge you? And he said, yes. But now it's up to you that you would respond. If just one person responds, that's okay. It doesn't take but just two people agreeing. And God can get a lot done. So if you would, just consider that. And I pray you'd find a place where you pray an hour a day or not. I pray that you'd find a place and get along with God and begin to talk to God about the needs that you have, that I have, that we have, that we need God in a major way to do some work, to do some work. And right here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we need God to do some work, some major work. Your pastor needs prayer. Your pastor needs prayer. Your pastoral staff needs prayer. Our families need prayer. Our deacons need prayer. You need prayer. Okay? And so the longer we pray, the more opportunities we give God to lay people on our heart as you pray. And I know I'm telling you things you already know. When you begin to pray, God will bring people to your mind. God will bring people to your remembrance. God will lay burdens on your heart that as you pray, he'll begin to speak and to minister. And so I would encourage you to pray. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Are you there? Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And I want to talk to you about the Sabbath. What do you know about the Sabbath day? We have been talking about the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath day is very interesting, isn't it? I mean, it truly is. It's amazing to me that of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, which is the commandment of the Sabbath day, is the longest as far as in letters and words of all the commandments. It's long. It's wordy. Here in Deuteronomy, we have an addition that we don't find in Exodus, and I know why I can't say positively, because the Bible doesn't say, but I do know this is a new generation that's getting ready to go into Canaan's land. And so in Deuteronomy chapter number 5, let's just kind of review a little bit. These first four commandments are about God. Okay, they're directed toward God. And here's what they say. Look at verse number 7. Thou shalt have no other God before me. No other gods before me. So all of these are about worship. All right, and this is saying worship God only. All right, I hope you'd write that down somewhere. Worship God only. You don't worship a man. You don't worship a thing. You don't worship material possessions. Worship God only. You say, well, I know that. Well, it doesn't matter what you know. It matters what you do with what you know. There's a lot of people who knows they shouldn't do things. They do them anyway. I'd say there's people that's killed people who knew full well they shouldn't have killed them, but they killed them anyway. So, you know, just knowing something is not where it stops. And so here it says in verse number 7, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I hope you'll keep this in mind. I'd like to give just one word, only. Worship God only. Number 2, the second commandment, worship God correctly. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. So he said, you know, worship me correctly. You know, I don't need you to draw pictures of me. You don't have to have a cross holding in your hand. You don't have to bow down and kiss a pope's toe or a, you know, it's nothing like that. It's God and God alone. Worship God only. Worship God correctly, right? Then look, if you would, at the third one. The third one, that's in verse number 11. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Worship God sincerely, all right? Mean it. You don't take the Lord's name in vain. It doesn't mean just verbally. It didn't say not to say the names or use the Lord's name in vain. I do believe it implies that. It certainly is inferred. But it also says don't take it. Don't live one way that you're something and say another. Don't, you know, they should match up. If you say you're a Christian, live like a Christian. Amen? You say you believe the Bible, live like you believe the Bible. You told the Bible, live like what the Bible teaches. And he said, don't use the name of the Lord in verse number 3. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And God said, I'll not hold you guiltless now. So we ought to be sincere. We ought to be sincere in our worship. So first commandment, worship God only. Second commandment, worship God correctly. Third commandment, worship God sincerely. And now here's the fourth commandment. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. Now here's the addition. Verse 15. This is not found in Exodus 20 in the first given of the Ten Commandments. This is the addition. And remember, okay, and I hope you remember that some time ago we said that's one of the key words in this book of Deuteronomy. Remember. Don't forget. Don't make the same mistakes that your fathers made, a different generation. So he said, remember, right? Don't do like they did and have to pay the price that they paid. And we're seeing a lot of that today, where people are so stubborn and so full of pride that they're not willing to learn lessons from previous generations. God help me and God help you. God help us to understand that God's law is not going to change for us. It's not going to change for us. Say, so, well, I'm going to bend God's law. Well, you're going to pay a price. And so he said, remember that thou wast a servant of the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So he said, worship God regularly. So, first commandment, worship God only. Second commandment, worship God correctly. Third commandment, worship God sincerely. Fourth commandment, worship God regularly. All right? Every 7 days, think of God. Right? Think of Him every day. But every seventh day, it's set aside. What did He say? He said, it's blessed. It's sanctified. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. What do you know about the Sabbath day? You say, well, preacher, I observe the Sabbath. Some people call Sunday the Christian Sabbath. You'll never find that in the Bible. What does the Bible say about the Sabbath day? What do you know about it? So you're out tomorrow and you meet an Adventist, a seven-day Adventist. And they begin to tell you, you're worshiping on the wrong day. You're worshiping on a day that Constantine or some Roman ruler set up, and the calendar's been changed, and God set up the Sabbath, and you Christians are worshiping on the wrong day. You're worshiping the sun god. They may tell you that. I've been told that. How many of you have ever been told that? Yeah. So what's going to be your response? Well, my preacher said, they don't care what your preacher said. Well, my grandma taught me. They said, they don't care what your grandma taught you. You got to have something more than that. Right? Because I'm going to tell you something. These false prophets and false teachers, they know some scripture. They know some scripture. So you're going to have to sharpen your pencil if you're going to be able to stand on a biblical truth from a biblical standpoint. That's why we come to church, to Sunday school. We don't come just to meet and greet. Sit around, you know, and talk about all of our friends. We come with a pencil and a pad. We come with an open Bible. We come with an open mind and an open heart and say, God, teach me your word so I can practice it. Right? So I can stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes. That's why you're here. And God, we need more folks like this. I appreciate people that are faithful to God's house. Faithful. So, what do you know about the Sabbath? You know what this word Sabbath means? How many of you know what the word Sabbath means, the word itself? The word Sabbath. Say, I know what it means. I'm not going to call on you, so you can raise your hand even if you don't know. I'm just kidding. Well, every hand went up in. Amen. Yeah. It means to rest, to cease from a labor. There's going to be someone come up to you and say, do you keep the Sabbath? I know some folks who are very stringent in keeping the Sabbath day. Friday, sundown, 6 p.m. to Saturday, 6 p.m. These people have strict diets. I mean, listen, ceremonial, regulatory ways of conducting their lives. And they are very disciplined people. Very disciplined people. They abstain from certain meats. They carry out certain rituals. And it's not they're bad people. So what do you know about the Sabbath? Well, I know the word Sabbath is in the Bible. Well, that's a good start. It's a Bible word. Now you know what the word Sabbath means. It means to cease from work or labor or activity. It means to rest. It is a rest that God has provided. The Bible speaks of several Sabbaths. And this is where a lot of people kind of get off. And so just tonight, if we don't learn anything else, I want to try to help you to understand some of the Sabbaths in the Bible. All right? It's very important. Because what false doctrine teaches is, well, it's all one Sabbath, and so we have to go back to the Sabbath, and we have to keep the Sabbath, and Saturday's the Sabbath, and Saturday's the day of worship, and Saturday's the day that we abstain from certain dietary situations and certain servitude, and so we just, you know, we can only do so much. And you say, well, now, Jesus kept the Sabbath. And so you'll hear all these things. And what do you know about that? What do you know about it? Why do we meet on Sunday and not Saturday? Is that just a preference? Is it just a preference that some, you know, that we as independent Baptists and other churches meet on Sundays, and then there's these groups that meet on Saturdays, in particular now, the Seventh-day Adventists, but there are others that meet on Saturday. And then there are those that just say, well, you know what? You don't even have to go to church. Church is not even biblical. It's organized religion. And I stay away from organized religion, they say. And I worship God at home or in a tree or I mean, listen, the list goes on. So really, what does the Bible say about this? It's important. When we come to church on Sunday in particular, it's important on Wednesday. But on Sunday is the Lord's day. Why? Why do we get up and come to church? Is that just something some man started years ago and we've just kind of fallen into the routine and we just come to church because it's kind of the thing to do on Sunday? It's you know, now that I'm saved, I guess we better go on down to the church. I shouldn't be at the NASCAR races, even though that the stands will be packed, some, many, saying they're Christians. And the ball games and the list could go on. And there's just two things before I get into detail about the Sabbath that I want you to remember, okay? And I hope you'll remember this and just allow it to just kind of permeate your mind. There's two fallacies, okay? The one fallacy is that, you know what? Regardless of when you worship, it could be Sunday, it could be Saturday, and this was the problem with the religious groups back in the Lord's day, and even our day, religious groups, it's a burden. All right? The Sabbath, it's a burden, it's misery. You can't have fun, you can't rejoice, you can't celebrate. It's got to be all dry, and it has to be moribund and just downcast. And if you get too excited, well then, you know, then God forbid that Christians would smile and rejoice, you know. And so we've got to add, and that's what the Pharisees did. They had added so many man-made laws to the Sabbath that's why Jesus and the Pharisees had conflict. Jesus didn't have conflict with the Pharisees over the Sabbath day. He had conflict with the Pharisees over the activities and over the labors and the burdens, the man-made laws that they had added to the Sabbath day. That was the issue. Listen, he came to fulfill the law, not destroy it. The Bible says that he was made of a woman, made under the law, Galatians 4:4. So he came into observance to all the law. That's why, as his custom was, on the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue. Yes. So that's one side. Misery, you know, just Christians got to have a long face. You know, well, I'm God's child, so I can't, you know. I've got to have this sour fact. I can't have any joy. God forbid I'd raise my hand in jubilation that I'm saved and my sins are forgiven. And God forbid that I'd walk more than so many steps to help my brother up or to jump his car off on the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, right? Yes. They had made it so, just so burdensome. But then there's the other side. The other side is, you know what? Sunday is part of the weekend. It's a long weekend. Cut my grass, right? Got a little tidying up to do around the house, tighten up some shutters, shore up some foundation, do some painting. It's Sunday. It's a long weekend. Finish it up before the week begins Monday, the work week. So see, there's two. You see what I'm saying? Somewhere in the middle, God said, Sunday is a special day. And it's not the Sabbath. What happened? What happened to this law? Well, here's a couple of challenges I'll give you. You'll find 9 of the 10 commandments reiterated in the New Testament. There's one missing. And I think you know which one it is. Jesus and the apostles addressed every one of the 10 commandments in a fuller way, except one, and it's this one. We're told not to commit adultery, just like the Israelites were told. We're told not to steal. Let him that stole steal no more. Isn't that what Paul said? We're told not to bear false witness. Right? Thou shalt not lie. Read Ephesians 4. We're told not to lie, but we're never told to keep the Sabbath. Never. So why is that? What happened? I want to give you 3 words, and I'm only going to elaborate on one. Number one, explanation. I'm going to try to give you a biblical explanation of what the Sabbath day is. Number two, transformation. Something happened. We no longer honor the Sabbath day. We do not keep the Sabbath day. All right? We meet together on the Lord's Day. It's not the Lord's. Listen, it's not the Christian Sabbath. It's not. The Bible nowhere calls it that. And then number three, there's going to be application. How does that affect me? How does these things affect me? All right? So let's get to just explanation. Explanation. I want you to look back in Genesis just for a moment. And let's see some. Genesis chapter 2. Would you turn there to Genesis chapter 2? And we're going to see where the Sabbath was first mentioned. See, the Sabbath was not first mentioned in the Ten Commandments as the fourth of the Ten Commandments. God mentioned the Sabbath before the law. The seventh day, God did something. He mentioned it before the law. And so when we look at Genesis chapter 2, we'll just read the first 3 verses. And there's something I want you to notice as we're reading this. So I'm going to tell you, if you look right up here at me, I'm going to tell you before we get into this. Okay, number one, when you read the 6 days of creation, the 7 days really, you'll find this seventh day is different in quite a few ways. All right? Number one, you'll never find on the seventh day the evening and the morning. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, you'll find in the evening and the morning were the first day. In the evening and morning were the second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. You'll never find that about the seventh day. All right? Which means that there's an eternal part to this day, which we'll get to on the backside of application. And then you'll never find where, as of this day, that God blessed the day and sanctified the other 6 days like he did the seventh day. Let's read it together, okay? Verse number 1 of chapter 2. And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So God ceased. He rested. Now, God wasn't tired, okay? And I know when we think of rest, that's what we think of, like, I'm tired, I need a rest. He just ceased from his creative activity, all right? So he ceased from his creative activity on the seventh day. And then look at verse number 3. And God blessed the seventh day. Now, you'll never find that in about the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, or the sixth day. Now, you will find that God blessed them, meaning Adam and Eve, and told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So God did bless part of his creation. He blessed it all, but he specifically spoke blessing to Adam and Eve. He blessed them. You can find that in the account, the creation account of Genesis. But here he blessed this day. Look at it again, verse number 3. And God blessed the seventh day. The Bible say that? Yes. And not only did he bless it, but the Bible said this, look at it, and sanctified it. Again, you'll never find that about the first 6 days. But this day, he blessed it and he sanctified it. Because God's serious about this. All right? There is something of value in what God has for this day. And I'm not going to wait to the application to tell you all of it, because I've got to tell you this. If you do not rest your body will rest. Okay? God made the body to rest. Now, God made the body to labor. As a matter of fact, God made the body to labor more than to rest. Right? Yes, he did. And they're both good. They're both good. Labor is good. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know, people say, well, you know, work is a curse. Well, the Bible, no, it's not. Work is not a curse. It's a blessing. The devil told you work is a curse, because the Bible nowhere teaches that work is a curse. God put Adam in the garden, and he went to work. Work is a good thing. Amen. Work brings fulfillment. Work brings purpose. Work brings direction. Work is good. Amen. But rest is too. So you see, you can rest too much, but you can't work too much. You say, well, I'm just going to work. I'm just a workaholic. Well, now, you might end up sinning against God, so be careful. Because God made your body and your mind for rest. So now, don't think that that's being Superman and you're being super spiritual if you work all the time. No, you're actually going against the way God made you. And your body is going to cry out and say, hey, you need to slow down and you need to rest, or I'm going to crash. Because God made us that way, brethren. And so there is some great... There is some great aid in hearing what God says. Now, some of you, I can already see lights going off like, man, I knew it. I'm taking tomorrow off. Amen. Now, that's not what we're talking about. Okay? God still expects you to be honest. Amen. Do your job, right? But your body, my body, as a matter of fact, when you study the scripture, and I don't have time to go on all this, but we're going to turn to some of it. So I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, so there's this initial Sabbath. You see what God gave, all right? God created, God worked, God made, and then he rests on the seventh day. And he said, I want to bless this day, and I want to sanctify it, because it's going to do my creation, it's going to do them good. See, God wants the earth to rest. God said every seventh year, he said, that's your jubilee. He said, I do not want you sowing, I do not want you planting. The earth needs to rest. Does the Bible teach that in the book of Leviticus? I looked at it again today. It's still there. Yeah. God knows what he's doing, brethren. So when I read a book, don't care what book you read, this book right here said that the earth needs to rest. You need to rest. Why? You're from the earth. That's right. You need rest. So I'm not going to rest. Well, one way or the other, you will rest. I think you need to choose to rest. I need to choose to rest. So that, and I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you. I always do that, okay? I get preached that a couple of few times where you just get it once. So I want you to understand something here. This is a problem that I have. This is a problem that some of you have, and I want to help you. I want to help you to understand that rest is not a bad thing. See, I'm one of these kind of people that I feel guilty when I'm resting. I don't think I'm alone in that. Some people feel guilty when they're working. Amen. I feel guilty when I'm resting. I'm being sincere. I can't. When people are working around me, I feel uneasy. I just feel like I got to get up and help them. That's lazy. That's trifling. That's disrespectful. Let people work around you. I've got to get involved and help. That's what I was trained. That's what I was taught to do for many, many years. And some of you've been trained and taught the same way. And we just feel like we've got to work. And you know what? I'm glad for good work ethic. I'm glad for people who will put their hand to the plow. But please listen to me. God made us not only for labor, he made us for leisure. God said there's a time where you need to rest. So don't be one of these kind of people that thinks now I'm going to go. No, you're going to crash. And it's going to cost you. Listen, if you will rest voluntarily in purposeful increments, the crash could be prevented. But if you crash, well, now there's a problem. And we all have to learn this, okay? God said it, it's so, and it's for our own good. So the initial rest from where this was taken from, 6 days shalt thou labor, God said, I did this for an example to you. I created, I set things out, but he said on the seventh day, I blessed it. Don't forget that part. We'll come back to that. Not tonight, our time won't allow us to, but we'll come back to that. And I sanctified it. I set it apart. That's what the word sanctified means. I set it apart for a purpose. Your body, your rest, there's times that you need to schedule rest and say, you know what, I'm going to rest. My body needs it. My mind needs it. My spirit needs it. I need it. You'll find yourself with a foul spirit. I've done it, I know. But even if I hadn't done it, God said it. You'll find yourself in a bad way when you don't rest. Okay? When we don't do things the way God says, we're always the loser for it. So, the initial Sabbath, God blessed it. God sanctified it. I read this and I thought I would share it with you. Most people, especially in the Western culture, are crucified between two thieves, regrets of yesterday and worries of tomorrow. And those two thieves keep us busy, regrets from yesterday and worries of tomorrow, that today is so filled with stuff that we never rest. I want to encourage you, get you some rest. All right? I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to some good people who work. Go. And you just feel like, you know what, preacher? I've got to do it. If I don't do it, it won't get done. Well, if you don't stop doing it, it's probably not going to get done too. You're going to have to rest. All right? Get you some rest. Your immune system gets weakened without rest. Your mind will begin to shut down. Your body will begin to shut down. You will become foul in your spirit. I'm just trying to help you. Get you some rest. All right? Most people probably sleep three or four hours a night. That's terrible. And so you may have to work on some things. It may not be just as easy as you saying, okay, I'm going to set aside some time for some rest. But I'm trying to plant a seed. Please, don't feel like you've got to work all the time in order to be spiritual or productive. 6 days, all right? But get you some rest. There's people, there's companies, there's organizations, there's institutions, round the clock, 24, all the time. Work. Got to go. Got to produce. Got to go. Got to push it. Got to get out there. That right there is what we know as a rat race, and I'm telling you right now, it has caused many, many unnecessary physical and mental breakdowns. And so don't you let that happen to you. It's not God's way, brethren. It's not God's way. So God set this up. Let's read it one more time before we turn to the book of Exodus. God blessed the seventh day. In verse number 2, the scripture says, he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. There ought to be a time where you say, well, preacher, I take my work to vacation with me. Well, you ought to quit doing that. You say, do you? Well, you just mind your own business. We all need to learn what it is. Notice what God did. He rested from all his work. As far as I can tell, God didn't go back to work until Adam sinned in the garden. And I'm being serious. And then he went looking for him. So, it's okay to rest. Now work, I don't think I'd tell you that. You're working people. You work. But it's okay to rest. Get you some rest. Rest your mind. Rest your body. Rest your spirit. Let your mind rest. Put those things out of your mind. Meditate. All right? It's good for the soul, brethren. It's good for the soul. You'll be a better person for it. The people around you will notice and listen, they'll be better for it. Number 2, turn if you would to the book of Exodus. Now, in the book of Exodus, we find in chapter 16, and I'm only going to give you a couple more, then I'm just going to be through. Okay? I'm trying to explain the Sabbath to you. So the Sabbath is something that God did to teach me something. It's good to work. Work the first day, work the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. But don't you work 7 days now. God didn't do it, and he doesn't want you doing it. And he doesn't want me doing it. You've got to rest. You have to rest. We need rest. God made our bodies to rest. Yes, he made us to work, but he made us to rest. So we need a rest. Number 2, in the book of Exodus, look if you would in chapter 16, look at verse number 22. God said this, God said, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered, I'm in Exodus 16, verse 22, they gathered as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe, or boil, seethe that ye will seethe that which remaineth, overlay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now, I am in no way saying that my grandmother lived by this law right here. Now, some of you had grandparents or parents who did the same. They would not cook on Sunday. My grandmother would not cook on Sunday. She cooked her meals on Saturdays. She was not a Seventh-day Adventist. She was a godly Christian lady. And she just believed that, you know what, there's just certain things you didn't do on Sunday. She couldn't give me a verse in Scripture because there's not one. Couldn't give me a chapter and verse for it. But it's just something that's probably the way she was brought up, and then, you know, and right on down the line. So this is where this comes from. This was to the children of Israel. The Sabbath days were the children of Israel, as far as the holy Sabbath, as far as the servitile and all that I read in you in chapter 20. Remember that? Turn there again in chapter 20 of Exodus. I read it over in Deuteronomy. But it's here in verse number 8 of chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so before Moses gave this, God had already set up some guidelines, and he had a people in mind. All right? And the people were the children of Israel. And he gave them this law, and he said, I want you to remember the Sabbath, and I want you to keep it holy. 6 days, look at verse 9 of Exodus chapter 20. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. All right, and I'm telling you right now, some of you had grandparents or great-grandparents, or you knew people who lived by this. I mean, these people would not cook. They were good people. This doesn't make them bad people now. They took this, you know what? Sunday's a day of rest. Amen, and they meant that too. And so he said, do all thy work on in those 6 days, verse number 10, but on the seventh day, is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. They took that serious. Now God wanted the children of Israel to take it serious. He said, well, now is this for the children of Israel? Well, notice if you would in Exodus 31. So we're explaining the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of rest. It's a day of ceasing to work. It's a day where there's no service, no work, no servitude, not for you, not for your mate, not for your men servants, not for your maid servants, not for your oxes, not for your asses. I mean, listen, it was a day of rest. God said that there needs to be rest. And I think that holds true even today. But now the particulars of the Sabbath, the holy Sabbath, notice what it says here in Exodus 31. Look at verse 13. Exodus 31, verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths, and I like that because it's plural. Now some people say, well, that just means one in concession after the other. But we'll see later on that's not so. Ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Now who is he speaking to here? Moses. Moses. It's a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I am the Lord and to sanctify you. You're a different people. And I've called you to be my people. You're my earthly people. And I have certain laws. I have certain requirements of you. And by the way, God can do that if he chooses to. God, I don't know. We just live in a culture that's just so foreign from what the Bible teaches. There's people who get offended. You know, when God commands things, God has every right to command things out of us. Amen. It shouldn't cause you to, you know, kind of bow up inside when somebody tells you, listen, God requires this out of you. You ought to be thankful God has some requirements of you. I'm thankful God lets me know what he expects of me. Aren't you? Listen, I was raised this way, brethren. Not even in a Christian home, but I was just raised this way. I tell you, we got some people that are just lacking in character. When I go to work for someone, I want to know, listen, I want to know what my job duties are. I'm thankful that BIMI, I spoke with Dr. Snyder, and he said, you know, I talked with him, I said, listen, I'll humbly accept, and I don't know what I could add, but there's one requirement, there's one condition. I want to know what your expectations of me are. What are your expectations of me? I don't want to come into something not knowing what your expectations of me are, because I cannot meet those requirements and expectations if I don't know them. Right? Before I accepted the pastor of this church, Pastor BJ, Brother Eric was in that meeting, Brother Benny was in that meeting. We had a meeting right back there in what used to be the old fellowship hall that's a nursery now. And we just had a sit down and I said, I want to know what you're looking for in a pastor. I want to know what you want in a pastor. So you've got to know what expectations are, requirements, right? It's important. It's very important. And so God said here, he said, I have some expectations of you. Look, let's read on down. Look at verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. You say, you think God's serious about the Sabbath? I'd say he is. Amen. Yeah. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days, he repeats it again. 6 days, verse 15. Now, I'm working to verse 17, so stay with me, okay? 6 days may work be done. But in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Who shall keep the Sabbath? Say it again. The children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. God's earthly people. God's covenant people. You keep the Sabbath. This day is for you. Right? He said, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations for a perpetual covenant. Now, it gets a little more clear in the next verse. It is a sign, verse 17, between me and the children of Israel forever. All right? Now, there's going to be a kingdom Sabbath. You can write these verses down. Isaiah 66, the scripture clearly teaches. In Isaiah 66, there's going to be a kingdom Sabbath. The Jews are going to inherit the earth. Don't have time to go into all that, but you listen, many of you know this. And I will give more verses next week. I've got another section I want to turn to before we close tonight. So we have the initial Sabbath. And then we have this temporal Sabbath. As far as the temporal, as far as it went away, but it's going to come back in the millennial kingdom. He said, it's perpetual. Look at it. It's perpetual in verse 16. And he said, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. So when someone comes to me as a Christian and says, hey, you're messing up. You need to be keeping the Sabbath. Well, wait a minute now. Number one, I'm not a Jew. Number two, I'm not under the old covenant. So no. So let's go to the book of Leviticus. And this will be probably where I close. I have to show you at least a little bit of the transformation so you can whet your appetite a little bit. But turn to the book of Leviticus chapter 23. We're just explaining the Sabbath day, all right? It's the seventh day. It's a rest. It's a ceasing from activity. It's a covenant made between God and Israel, all right? It's a perpetual covenant that God made with the children of Israel. It's not to the church. Then it says, if you look in the book, I'm in Leviticus now, verse number 23, Leviticus chapter 23, we have a mention of these feast days. All right, in Leviticus 23, and I'm not going to go through each one of these, but I want to just point out a couple things here, okay? Leviticus 23, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord. Now, if you've never read Leviticus 23, we went through the whole book of Leviticus, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. I'm telling you right now, brethren, there is some meat in this book. All right? I mean, there's some good stuff in this book. Now, you have to dig and you have to stick with it. So you have here, you have these feasts. And I'm just going to point a few of them out. Look, if you would, in verse number 5, the 14th day of the first month at the evening is the Lord's what? Passover. Okay? The Passover feast. And then you have the latter part of verse number 6, you have the unleavened bread or the feast of unleavened bread. You see this? And then you go down to verse number 10, in the latter part of verse number 10, you have the Feast of First Fruits. All of these have, they have symbolism in them. They have types of the Lord Jesus. Passover, the Bible says that Jesus is our Passover lamb, right? That's speaking of the Passover lamb in Egypt when the blood was applied to the door mantle and the death angel came. That's Passover in Egypt. But listen, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And then we have unleavened bread. That means separation from sin. After the Passover, there was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which means, you know what? There's got to be some separation. There's got to be some cleansing of sin. There's got to be a removal here. And then we have first fruits, resurrection. Christ is our first fruits. As a matter of fact, it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 20. But now, as Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits, right here, the first fruits of them which believe. So here's the first fruits, which is of resurrection. And then in verse number 16, you have the 50 days. It doesn't mention, but it's the Feast of Pentecost. You see that in verse number 16? Even to the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you shall number 50 days. That's why the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, and now when the day of Pentecost was fully come. All right? Why? Because we want to make sure it's going to be on the first day of the week. 50 days after the first fruits. When did Jesus resurrect from the grave? The first day of the week. All right? Make sure that the gift of the Holy Ghost was given on Sunday, the first day of the week. Why? Because when we meet in church, we meet in the power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot worship God in spirit and in truth without the Spirit. And so when we meet to celebrate the resurrection and the fact that the Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. There's reasons that God did this. God is a very detailed God, all right? And he does things so that we can learn and we can apply, and he gave these. These were really feasts that the Israelites, that they practiced, but they're shadows, all right? They're shadows, they're types of what is to come and what became reality to us. Now, I wanted to show you this, okay? Let me show you this, and then I'll be through for tonight. So there'll be people that come to you and they'll say, well, you know, the Sabbath is Saturday. The Sabbath is not always Saturday. Anyone that ever tells you that, then they haven't studied the Bible, all right? So I want to show you. Look, if you would, in verse number 24. We're in Leviticus 23. Look at verse number 24. Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath. Okay, now, so every seventh month, the first day of the month, cannot be Saturday. Yeah. But there's more. So he said, this is going to be a Sabbath to you. Okay? So he says, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. And of course, this is the Feast of Trumpets. And he says, shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And he lays out the guidelines for that Sabbath. Now, if you would look in verse number 27. Also, on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement, which is another feast. Now, and he said, you shall afflict your souls. You see that in verse number 27, which simply means fast, okay? Now, look at verse 28. And you shall do no work that same day. Why? Because it is to be a Sabbath. Verse 32 says, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. So now, if the first day were to be a Saturday, there's no way the 10th day can be a Saturday. The first day is not always going to be a Saturday on the seventh month. But even if it were, there's no way the first and the 10th day could be a Saturday. So every, and I want you to listen to me very carefully now, okay? Every Saturday is a Sabbath. But not every Sabbath is a Saturday. Did you get that? You'll need to keep that in mind, because when you get to the New Testament, which we will next week, the Lord willing, it becomes very important. This is where people get mixed up with Good Friday. All right? Because they think, okay, well, it's the Sabbath, it's the Passover, it's and they get things mixed up because they don't understand that every Saturday is a Sabbath, but not every Sabbath is a Saturday. Here again, in verse number 34, he says, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month, the same one where it's the 10th day, you just can't have, these are not Saturdays, brethren. There may be one in there, I don't know, maybe two, but all of them are not Saturdays. Not every Sabbath is a Saturday, but every Saturday is a Sabbath. You understand? Okay. So there's Sabbaths that do not fall on Saturdays. Very important. All right. So we're still in the explanation phase. Our time is up. Don't want to lose you. I hope I didn't lose you. I know when we're turning from Scripture to Scripture, sometimes it's just, you know, it's hard. Maybe if I let you, I don't know, bring your Bible on your phone. I'm just carrying on. We can still have fun, right? I mean, you know, I don't want to have fun at church. Well, okay. You know. What do you know about the Sabbath? I know this. I want to know more about it. I know some things about it. I want to know more about it. I know God's very serious about it. And I know God gave it for my benefit. I know that I'm worshiping on the right day because I've studied my Bible about the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is not the Sabbath. The Lord's Day is the first day of the week. And we are to worship Him upon the first day of the week. That's when we're to give. That's when we're to worship. That's when we're to hear preaching. That's when we're to break bread. We just broke bread. Go home and read Acts 20, verse 7. When Paul preached unto the disciples, they were breaking bread on the first day of the week. There was a transition in the book of Acts. They were moving toward the first day. They gathered a collection in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. On the first day of the week. All right? But the Sabbath can teach us some really good practical things that will help us. Let's all stand. Hope I don't lose you in this. I don't want to. I felt led of the Lord. Let's go through the Ten Commandments. God takes the Ten Commandments serious. I'm in no way saying, you know what, because the Sabbath's not mentioned in the New Testament, we should just kind of dish it. No, God's very serious about it. It's going to be brought up again in the millennial kingdom. So we need to know, if God commanded it, I want to know what it is. I want to know what it is. I want to get it right. I'm not really interested in impressing people and you know, writing books about things until I get it right. And then, see, we can teach it and write books and try to help people, right? You know, we got to get it right in our own heart. What saith the Scriptures? That's what we're talking about this year. What does this book say? It's just so important. Let's bow our heads together.